I guess it's fine, but I was going to mention a lot of people work in groups a lot, and I work alone a lot. So I found you hit more doors that way. I mean, they could probably figure that out, though. I forgot. But that honestly has been a big tip in my success is, like, I've been able to work entire neighborhoods because I wasn't, like, going out in groups, you know, stuff like that.
Welcome, everybody, out to the D2D podcast, the Golden Door deep dive segment, where I, your host, Roz, pick the brains of all the past Golden Door winners of this year. We are blessed, damn it, to have Mr. Chris Davitt with us, man. How the hell are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Dude, it's so good to have you on here. You're out in Virginia, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Nice. What part of Virginia are you in?
So I live in Winchester. The company I work for is based in Reston area. It's like Northern Virginia, near DC, but Winchester, which is like an hour and a half or so from that area.
Love it. So for those listening, guys, Chris hit a golden door in roofing, which is $2 million of revenue. Am I correct on that?
Two and a half million.
Sorry, I got mixed up with the windows for a second. $2.5 million of revenue. Shingles going up on the tops of houses. So walk me through your progression. How'd you get in the industry?
So how I got in, it's like kind of a interesting story. My cousin, he was the one who first got into it. He got in because his sister, who's also my cousin, is best friends with the secretary at this company. Kind of confusing, but he was telling me, and we do like door-to-door insurance claims. That's kind of our main thing is like insurance. and he was telling me what guys in the company were making a week, making a month. And I was at the time, I had my own business, but I was flipping furniture. So it was sales, you know, but it wasn't like where I wanted to be. And I was kind of stuck in it. And I thought it was a scam what he was getting into. And I was like, there's no way that guys are making that much money. And I was kind of letting him be the guinea pig. And after like 3 months of him there, he was like, no, dude, like this is how much I've already made. Like it's legit. And I was like, all right, give me an interview. So.
Oh man. I absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it when it's like, someone, you know, and, you know, I love the initial, like, oh, like, is this a scam? And then you see paychecks coming in and it's like, you're just blown away. And you're like, well, sign me up. Let's go.
Yeah.
So
it was like, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So you've been in, roofing this whole time. About when was that? How many years ago was that again?
2 years. It's been about two full years.
Two full years. Okay. Yeah. So what did you do the first year you did roofing then?
The revenue, like revenue wise. So I started in January. The fiscal year at our company starts in December. And I started like my training was at the end of January. So I didn't really start working until February. And granted, like it takes a little while to figure out how to get stuff approved through insurance. So like I really only had like 9 solid working months my first year, and I finished with like 1.5 million, which was still
pretty okay. Good. So you came out the gate swinging.
Yeah, I came out pretty. Yeah.
What was the biggest reason for that? You think how were you able to do that?
So we have a system of basically it's a point system. So you have to do a certain number like. A sale during the weekday is 1 point. A sale on the weekend is 1.5 points. You need 15 points in a month to make a certain percentage. Otherwise, you make half of that percentage. So you're highly incentivized to hit that number of points. So I went out like very first month determined to hit 15 points. And my boss basically at the time gave me a recipe for like, he was like, I guarantee you if you knock 30 doors a day, 6 days a week, for the first month, you're going to hit 15. And I kind of just followed that blind. and was able to, like, I got into a pretty good neighborhood. I got a little lucky, but I was able to hit 15 my first month. And then that just set me up for, like, I didn't get a lot of proof that month, but I was already starting to meet, you know, adjusters, ladder assists. You start to build your network. You kind of like make up in quantity what you lack in quality when you start. So it was just like it was also a confidence booster. Like, I didn't know how good I was going to be door to door and hitting doing 15 sales. Cause I actually just got 15 raw deals my first month. It was like, okay, I can do this. So.
Yeah. A little confidence boost there. Dude, that's a clean way to get started in that. 100%. A lot of guys, they get their face kicked in and they just get discouraged. And I mean, it happens to the best of us, of course.
100%.
But that's a fun start. So,
I went my first week without a sale. So I had a couple good leads, but like, yeah, I was getting my teeth kicked in for the first week, you know? So,
okay. So you're human, just like everyone.
Yeah. You know, I got my teeth kicked in, but then I felt a little more comfortable. You just kind of start to, you know, enough doors and you start to just, it kind of rolls off your back.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what were some of those challenges that you experienced in that first year then?
So as far as like just industry wise or like just like knocking doors?
Dude, everything. Industry wise, knocking doors, learning the process, yeah, all of it.
So really that the key with if you're doing roofing through insurance, like it's not that hard of a sale because the homeowner just pays their deductible and then the roof is included through their insurance. But you just have to really establish a good solid pipeline your first few months so that you can start getting referrals, you can start knocking installs, that sort of thing. So I can tell if someone's going to be successful in this industry within their first like 2 months doing it, you know, like how much work they put in those first 2 months. So that's like super critical. It's hard getting stuff approved through insurance. So also just volume at first, you know, having a goal of how many sales you want to do each month. You start networking, you start meeting adjusters, ladder assists, they want to help you out. You also then become more of an expert. You know what each insurance company likes and doesn't like, you know, and it just gets easier to get stuff approved. Like when I started, I was probably at like a 25% approval rating. So one in four doors or one in four houses I could get approved. But now it's like 75-80%. And wow, a lot of it doesn't even have to do with damage, right? Like Virginia, there's like, we get like 1 inch, maybe 2 inch hail like every now and then, but it's more about like who you know. And you know, you just, the more you do, the more you're out in the field and working, the better outcome you have and the more approvals you can get, which equals more estimates, which equals more revenue. Like I've never looked at it as like, I want to hit 2.5 million. Like I didn't look at it like I want to hit 2.5. Like it just happened.
Yeah, like, that's wild.
You have to break it down into smaller, you know, smaller goals and then it can just happen.
Yeah, something more manageable, right? So
yeah.
I think you're bringing up some interesting thoughts with, you know, working with insurance companies.
Yeah.
Because we all know that those MFs are greedy.
Don't wanna pay.
They don't want to pay nothing, dude. What are your tips for working with insurance companies?
You have to be, so this is, I wrote a few notes down. One of them was like with homeowners, with adjusters, with ladder assists, you have to be, it's not fake, but you have to be likable. Like you have to be an easygoing person. Like don't unnecessarily cause conflict or like be difficult for them. You should be able to read body language, like, you know, and if there's not really damage there, don't like push it to the point where you're like fighting for something that's not legitimate. You know, be agreeable. Don't be a pushover and just try to be a likable person and without being like fake as best as you can do that. Cause so much of anybody who wants to work with you in sales, it's like how trustworthy you are to them. And like, do they like you? That's a huge part of sales, is just being trustworthy and likable. If it doesn't matter how much knowledge and expertise you have, if you rub somebody the wrong way and you just aren't getting along, you're not going to close the deal. And it's the same thing with adjusters, and they're humans too. And for those who don't know, a ladder assist is just the guys who go up on the roof. Usually the adjusters hire them to take photos for them. And like, so they're very, in their reports, they can determine if they think it's like hail damage or not. So getting like close with those guys is important too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think these are amazing points, because when you're talking about that, I was kind of thinking about it's almost like talking to like a customer service rep. Like if you're screaming at them and getting pissed off, they're less likely to give you a refund or help you out, right? But if you're nice, if you're pleasant with them, then they're going to play ball. It might be a little bit of pitch and catch, but especially if, like you said, if you can be pleasant and agreeable, but not a pushover,
right,
then I think you're unlocking totally new worlds. And then working with the adjuster, one of my brother-in-laws is actually an adjuster too. And like, this is something like we talk about, you know, and it's like, having a good relationship with them just makes a world of difference. And cause if you can get a good adjuster on your side and he's playing ball with you, then it's game over at that point.
Exactly. It's like, anytime you come into contact with him, he knows you're legitimate. He knows you're a reputable contractor or whatever. And he's going to want to approve that roof like every time. As long as you show him something that's not complete bullshit, it's like he's gonna want to approve your roof. Same with a ladder assist, because a lot of these inspections for insurance companies, the adjuster won't come out on site. It'll just be a ladder assist who goes out and you run into the same ones over and over again. And I dealt with a lot when I was new. Like, a lot of them play like hard ass, kind of like, you know, real tough. And then you just see them on enough roofs and they're like, man, I got to help this guy out. So
I'll throw him a bone.
Yeah. So
I love that. I love that.
What's up, guys? Sam Taggart here. Pardon the interruption. I'm going to throw this out there. We have launched a mastermind called The League. It's for sales leaders and top performers that want to go level up. We decided that proximity is power, and every single high-level person is going to say your network is your net worth. And if you're not somebody investing in community, learning, events, rubbing shoulders with the best, you're missing out, because it's only one idea, one little relationship, one prospect away that could literally change the trajectory of your sales, your business, your team, etc. Whether you're a business owner, we have programs for you, down to a brand new rep, we have programs for you. Click the link, schedule a demo, and learn more about our league and where you might fit in and what division that would be. We have hundreds of people that we're helping and serving in many different aspects with different experts, different experiences. But the reality is come run with the best in the league. Go to theddexperts.com and schedule your demo today.
For a lot of people listening, you know, if you don't understand how roofing works and whatnot, do you actually mind explaining your process, what that looks like for people that may not understand it?
Yeah. So like from door to everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the door, basically I'm letting the home, like I'm targeting older roofs, people who are already going to need a roof soon. And rather than doing it retail, doing it through insurance gives them the option to possibly have their insurance cover it minus their deductible, which is usually like $1,000. So it's a pretty good deal for most people. So I'm letting them know, like, if I've done a neighbor's roof or something, like, hey, I got your neighbor so-and-so approved by their insurance, I can tell your roof looks like it's an original. Basically can help you get your insurance to cover it. Like, I need to take 10, 15 minutes, take a look at the roof, come down. If I find that there's enough damage, I can help you call your insurance. So I help the homeowner call the insurance. Like, they have to file the claim because I'm not a public adjuster, I'm just a contractor. But I help them kind of navigate through that call, because a lot of homeowners don't want to it's like scary to talk to their insurance, you know? So I try to make the whole thing as like simple as possible. I don't ask questions. I like maintain that, like, I'm the expert, I'm in control. So after I get off, the roof, I help them call the insurance, and then their adjuster will call them within like 24 hours of that initial phone call, of just filing the claim, to schedule something. I tell the homeowner to have the adjuster call me to schedule it so that I can make sure I'm available for the inspection. And then I meet with the adjuster or ladder assist on the roof for the inspection, where we're determining if there's hail or wind damage. And basically how they look for hail on a roof is they take a, they draw a 10-foot by 10-foot like square, and they're just looking for like 8 hail hits in that square on each slope. And if like 3 out of 4 slopes have enough hail or wind, they just look for like a creased shingle. You need like 10 maybe on each slope. Then they'll approve the roof. So that's what I'm doing. And then I can get an estimate from the insurance usually within a week. And I have the homeowners for me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool. When I first learned about roofing, I was kind of blown away. I was like, oh shoot, this is like a product that it's like you're kind of, you know, sticking it to the insurance company. So it's actually really cool when you think about it. It's like, well, yeah, they're paying the deductible, but it's right. Like in the end, insurance company is the one that's shelling out the money for the roof. So it's a huge win-win for everyone except the insurance company.
Exactly. It's the one, as I say it, it's like, it's the one way you can like get ahead of the insurance, because people will have moved in and like have a home for like 6 months. It hailed like a month ago, and they can have their insurance shell out $40,000 for a roof, you know?
Yeah. Like, and it's cool because everyone has home insurance. Right. You have to have it.
Exactly.
So, yep. And then, there's storms and things happen all the time. So, speaking of which, what do you do when, you know, there's not like maybe storm season's kind of slowed down?
Yeah.
You're not seeing very much hail. Like, how do you navigate those dry spells?
So Virginia, you have a 2-year window from a storm to file a claim. So like most areas, I'm within a 2-year window of some storm. So I haven't really run into that issue, but sometimes I'll be at a house and it'll just be, there's no damage. I just let that homeowner know, like, hey, especially if they have a tough insurance company, I'm like, it's not worth your time really filing this claim. And I move on to the next, you know. It's kind of just don't fall into a scarcity mindset. If it's not there, don't waste the adjuster's time. Don't waste, you know, don't file a bullshit claim, really. Like, you should only do it if there's something to work with, you know. And insurance also, they don't just automatically look at the roof. They're also at first looking on the ground, on like downspouts, window screens, siding, to see if there's any evidence of collateral, like hail hitting any of those other items. And the more of that evidence you have, the better it is for like the roof argument. Cause it's like, okay, obviously hail is hit everywhere else on the house, you know, more than likely it's going to have hit the roof too. Cause what hail looks like on a shingle is pretty subjective. And that's where there's a lot of like disputing with people, adjusters and such.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that principle of like, you know, just be honest with people. Don't waste anyone's time.
Yeah.
There's no damage. There's no damage.
Right. And like, it was hard cause we're on that point system. So it's like, yeah, I'll be honest, my first month, like there were a few sales I did where it was like pretty iffy. But like as of now, it's like a lot, my door to sale ratio is a lot better. I can be a little more picky and not just have that pressure. And it also then your trust with the homeowner goes way up when you tell them like, hey, it's not really there. Call me when you have a storm, you know, versus like, oh yeah, you should, you know. Versus just constantly being pushy with everybody, you end up being better at closing the deal when you're not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what's interesting too, is like, if there, you know, if a storm does come through and you show back up, or maybe they hit you back up, it's like that trust is already there. Because they were like, oh, well, this guy was honest enough with me to let me know that there wasn't any damage here. So I'm happy to do business with him because I know he's going to be upfront.
100%. Yep.
So now kind of shifting gears a little bit into, you know, what does it take, in your opinion, to become a Golden Door winner for roofing?
So honestly, for me, everything is, I try to make it very simple. It's like, it's not, to me, it's not this big woo-woo, you know, thing where a lot of people are like, what did you do? Or I don't, like, it's not, to me, it's just, you just have to be disciplined. And you're not always going to want to, work. I mean, this kind of job, it's like nobody's telling you what to do. I mean, I'm technically employed, but I'm 1099 contractor. So like my boss might tell me to go out and knock doors, but they don't really care at the end of the day. It's like, it's up to me how successful I want to be. It's like, I literally control how much money I want to make this year. So if you just break it down into like figuring out what your door to sale ratio is, figuring out how many deals you want to do a month and how many approvals or whatever it is, like out of how many sales you get, then you can figure out how much revenue you need per month to hit 2.5 million or whatever it is. And I knew pretty early on, like my average was in revenue when I was like, my first year was around 100,000 a month. So then I kind of figure out how to skew that by signing up some like bigger jobs, bigger roofs, because it's the same amount of work. It's just you get paid more and it's bigger estimate if it's a bigger house. And and just getting better as I went. And I don't like having a full year this year just really helped too. But I mean, I honestly don't even think I work 40 hours a week a lot of the time, because now I get a lot of referrals and I just knock installs, and like I don't have to spend as much time out on the field now that I built a solid pipeline. So like I said earlier on, like that first few months of roofing is really critical to just getting your feet wet. That's going to tell that, yeah. That always tells me when guys are, cause, and like, to me, it's a pretty easy job, but I see so many guys who come in who are out the door in like a couple months. And I can always tell how well you're going to do by how hard you work and how successful you are those first few months in roofing.
Yeah. It's if you hit the ground running, if you build that pipeline, then it's like you've set yourself up for future success.
Yep. You can get referrals, and then like easiest way to get sales is when a roof is getting installed, just knocking around the neighborhood and being like, hey, I got their insurance to cover that. It was only $1,000 and they can see it. It's not like, it's not now this random dude at my door. Like, I don't really trust, you know, it's a lot more, a lot easier to close. I can close those almost every single time because they can just see the roof getting installed and they know who that person is more than likely.
Totally. Totally. So what would you say to someone that, you know, they are getting started in roofing? Maybe they're coming over from a different industry. You know, you kind of let them know like, hey, you're going to want to start off strong, build this off. But what are maybe some like mindset tips that you're going to give them if they want to hit a golden door?
You just have to stay consistent and you have to be disciplined and don't compromise on the goals you've set for how many doors you're going to hit that day. Like, doesn't matter how shitty you feel that morning or whatever it is, if it's raining or not, like that first month did not matter what the weather was. And I started knocking in February. It was cold as shit. It's like, it did not matter. I was like told to do this by someone who was very successful. And I just like followed his, you know, advice to a T. So just be accountable. And if you're still not closing, if you knock like 500 doors and you haven't gotten a sale, it might be you're not confident enough. You're asking too many questions. You're talking yourself out of the sale, but get with somebody at that point who's been, who's successful and see, like, pitch him and see what you're doing wrong. Because by that point, you should have closed a few deals. Because I see people who knock a lot of doors and they still can't sell. And it's like, dude, you're doing something wrong with your pitch. Because it's like, you're almost selling a free roof, dude. It's like, it's not that hard. There's something that you're doing wrong. And if you just fix that, maybe if you stood a little further away from the door and, like, didn't have your arms crossed, weren't, like, looking all over the place, like, put your hands on your hips, like, gave them a little bit of space and, like, calmed yourself down and just spoke, you know, then you could maybe close a couple. You could have closed a few of those. It's just, it could be something very simple. But the main thing is just getting yourself out there. Because when my first week, I mean, I have a bit of social anxiety. So when I was new, I remember my first door, I was like shaking and like super nervous. I was like, oh, roof. Lady was sweet though. She was like, yeah, I'll take your card.
That's amazing. Yeah. It sounds like a lot of it's just follow the process.
Yeah.
Follow the freaking recipe.
Exactly. Literally follow the recipe. And then you're going to just become more confident at the door. And then it's going to go from 50 people answering the door to a sale to 5 people answering the door to a sale.
I love it. I love it, man. So, kind of shifting gears a little bit. This is going to be your first D2D con. Am I?
Yeah. And I only know about it because, did you know who James Schlosser is? He works for
Rachel. Yeah.
Yeah, he told me about it. I'm buddies with him, but so his company is pretty close to ours. Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's sick. Yeah, dude. What are you most looking forward to with DDDCon?
So I don't know a ton about the schedule. I mean, I'm excited to get that award.
Well, dude, preach that. I'm excited for you to get the award. Yeah. I'm excited for you to be up on stage. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited.
Definitely. Top 1% in the industry. That's no small thing. So it's going to be fun, dude. We're going to have so many different guys from different industries there. Top performers, top 1% all across the board. It's going to be awesome to have you there. It's going to be awesome to, like, intermingle with everybody. We're all just extremely looking forward to it. Honestly, it's going to be a really good time, dude. Sure. On behalf of DDD Experts, Sam Taggart, dude, we're excited to have you, and congratulations on the Golden Door. Absolutely epic.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, dude. Do you have any parting words for the industry?
Parting words. Again, just consistency, discipline, not going well for some reason, get with somebody who's done it before, who's successful, and you'll make it happen. Just gotta stick with that formula.
follow the recipe
baby. I guess it's fine, but I was gonna mention a lot of people work in groups a lot, and I work alone a lot, so I found you hit more doors that way. I mean, they could probably figure that out though. I forgot, but that honestly has been a big tip in my success, is like, I've been able to work entire neighborhoods because I wasn't like going out in groups, you know, stuff like that.
I love it. Well, dude, thank you so much for hopping on, everyone. This has been the Golden Door Deep Dive segment. Keep tuning in for more tips and tricks on how to win a Golden Door.